Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these words from St. Paul, just proclaimed from his letter to the Christians living in Philippi, can be the words that you ponder in your hearts as you leave this 2014 National Assembly of the Leadership of Major Superiors of Women Religious. When you have been celebrating the year of consecrated life, ecclesial women faithful to the missionary impulse of the church, because the only way to be faithful to the missionary impulse of the church is to have in you the same attitude that is also in Jesus Christ. And for all of us to live out our mission in today's world, this attitude must be renewed, especially in the light of the strife and conflict that we seem to see everywhere. As you leave the tranquility of the grounds of the shrine, you go back into that larger world where the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis continues to rage. The conflict between Russia and the Ukraine continues to threaten that part of the world, where the new and tragic conflict that has emerged with the development of the movement of ISIL, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, attempting to establish an Islamic caliphate in much of Syria and Iraq, leading to terrifying violence and cruel beheadings that have caught the attention of the Western world only when the victims have been Westerners. Before that, thousands were already suffering and dying in this terrible misuse of the faith of Islam, a faith properly understood that does not in any way support violence, and the vast number of the 1,350,000,000 followers of Islam around the world certainly do not support the ideology that has created a conflict that will take the United States down a road it would rather not go, and perhaps into yet another intractable war like the wars in Afghanistan and the wars in Iraq. And closer to home here in the United States, being here in the area of the Diocese of Belleville and across the river from the Archdiocese of St. Louis, we know the terrible conflict in the city of Ferguson, where once again we are reminded of the violence and conflicts that can erupt in communities, especially when seemingly innocent young people are overly victimized by the police. This incident in Ferguson, Missouri is simply one of many occurring around the country that capture the headlines of the news almost every day, in which we see that those who thought that the United States had moved in some post-racial direction were wrong. And just below the surface, there still bubble terrifying conflicts between people of different racial, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. To enter into these worlds with the missionary impulse of Christ, we must have in us the same attitude that is also in Jesus Christ. An attitude that we saw exemplified in the pontificate of John Paul II, and since his canonization on April 27th by His Holiness Pope Francis, we hear the words of John Paul II in a new way, now that he has been recognized by the Church as one of those who can be called Sanctus, the Holy One. And of course, his words addressed to religious in his apostolic exhortation, Vita Consecrata, in 1996, are particularly apt as a source of our meditation as we prepare to leave this gathering, a source of our meditation in which we wish to have in us the same attitude found in Christ Jesus. Because those words of St. Paul tell us that we must complete his joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing, and to do nothing out of selfishness, to do nothing out of vainglory. St. Paul tells us, rather, we must humbly regard others as more important than ourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but for those of others. This attitude is steeped in the writings of John Paul, and it penetrates almost every page of his apostolic exhortation on the consecrated life. Speaking especially to women, he wrote, "The church fully reveals her varied spiritual richness when she overcomes all discrimination and welcomes as a true blessing the gifts lavished by God upon both men and women, considering them in their equal dignity by virtue of their dedication lived in fullness and in joy. Consecrated women are called in a very special way to be signs of God's tender love toward the human race and to be special witnesses to the mystery of the church, virgin, bride, and mother. And how else can we be such special witnesses than by having in us the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus." And so I ask you to turn these words over in your hearts as you prepare to take your flights and drive your cars to places near and far. Our Holy Father put before us in his apostolic exhortation, which, alas, is not well read and not well known and not well appreciated by some communities of religious for reasons I do not understand, but he puts before us the image of the mother of the Lord Jesus. Speaking to us about Mary, he reminds us that Mary's presence is of such importance for the spiritual life of individual sisters, for the solidarity and the unity and the progress of the whole community in which they live. He also tells us that Mary is the ideal example of perfect consecration, perfect dedication, since she belongs completely to God and is totally devoted to him, an example for which we all strive. Chosen by the Lord, who wished to accomplish in her the mystery of the Incarnation, Mary reminds those who are consecrated as religious sisters of the primacy of God's initiative. Mary reminds us that in all things, God takes the initiative, not ourselves. And at the same time, having given her assent to the divine word, the Holy Father reminds us that Mary is the model of the acceptance of grace by all, including women who are consecrated in religious life. Having lived with Jesus and Joseph in the hidden years of Nazareth and present at her son's side at crucial moments in his public life, Mary teaches the unconditional discipleship and diligent service that is needed by all who want to carry out the mission of Christ and the church in the world. Mary's consecrated life is a model for all who want to live consecrated lives, and she is the example by which we go forth into the world. It is most unfortunate that some people today seem to think of Mary as somehow not a good example for consecrated women, for women religious. A misinterpretation of a certain brand of radical feminism has led to the diminishment of Mary's role in the eyes of some Catholics, including some who live in religious communities. But to read the scriptures carefully and faithfully is not to picture Mary as someone meek and mild without any inner enthusiasm, without any inner fire. Mary is a very strong presence in the scripture, a very strong model. And the Holy Father says that in Mary, she is a mother to us all, and she is a mother in a unique way. Indeed, the new motherhood that was given to Mary at the crucifixion is a gift for all Christians, and it has a special value for those who consecrate their lives to the church. Jesus' words, "Behold your mother," to the disciple whom he loved, are particularly significant to the lives of anyone living a life of dedication to the church, especially women in consecrated life, for they, like John, are called to take Mary to themselves, loving her and imitating her in the radical manner which benefits their vocation, and experiencing in return Mary's special love. And certainly Mary, in a remarkable way, had in her the same attitude that is also in her son, Christ Jesus. And it is certainly an attitude that is so important for those who dedicate themselves in a very special way to the particular evangelical counsels of chastity, poverty, and obedience, values that our secular world does not regard as significant. Our secular world considers that those who commit themselves to chastity, poverty, and obedience are somehow rejecting things in the world that are good. Of course, married life is a good thing. Having possession is a good thing. Directing one's own life is a good thing. But the consecrated life to these evangelical councils is a reminder to everyone that while these are good things, there are even higher goods, and the highest good of all is God. And those who live consecrated lives are focused on the absolute good by means of the evangelical councils. And they remind all of us in the world and everyone to reject idolatry by taking created things and placing them in the place of God himself. And so Mary reminds us all that if we're going to have in us the attitude that is Christ himself, we must do so. We must do so with complete dedication, with complete dedication. In the gospel proclaimed today, Jesus is continuing the parabolic teaching that he began last week, in which he gives us the story of the man who has two sons. And he says, what is your opinion of this? He comes to the first son and said, son, go out and work in my vineyard today. And the son says, I will not. But afterwards he changes his mind and he goes out and works in the vineyard. Then the man came to his other son and gave the same order. And the man said in reply, yes, I will go. But he did not go. Now I think sometimes we who are dedicated to service in the church as deacons, priests, bishops, religious and religious sisters in consecrated life, we sometimes hear this parable and we say, well, we're not like the first one who said, I will not go, and later repented and decided to go. And we're certainly not like the second one who said yes, but then did not go. Oh no, we say yes immediately and we go. Ah, but is that really true? Do we all say yes immediately? Does the gospel need a third category there? Does Jesus have to have a third son or maybe a daughter to whom he says, go into my vineyard and work, who say, oh yes, right away, and then we go? Not necessarily so. Remember, St. Paul has taught us in his letter to the Romans, the things we know we should do, we do not do. And the things we know we should not do, we do. And so I don't know that the gospel needs an editing to adapt itself to our lives. I think that sometimes we are very much, in some circumstances in consecrated life, very much like the first son. Jesus says, daughter, go and work in my vineyard today. Do these things that are needed to be done. And we say, yes. But in our hearts, we are saying no. And we really don't do it, or we do it half-heartedly, without the dedication that is necessary for us to have a true mission in the world. And so our no may not be uttered in words, but it is uttered in our attitudes, uttered in our grumbling, uttered in our disposition, uttered in our lack of docility. Or we are like the other daughter, go and work in my vineyard today. And we're blunt about our unsatisfaction with what we're being asked to do. And we say, no, I will not do it. But we are open at least to the Holy Spirit who calls us to conversion. And gradually, perhaps in an hour, a day, a week, a month, or a year, at some point, we change our minds. And really, in some ways, I think a better expression of the meaning of that, we change our hearts. Our hearts are changed so that we're able to say yes and go out and do the work that is to be done for the good of the church. As you celebrate this year of consecrated life, ecclesial women faithful to the missionary impulse of the church, the missionary impulse of the church can only have an impact if it is taken into the world, a world torn by strife and conflict in so many ways, a world in which we cannot see always the love of God made manifest, a world in which we cannot always see the attitude of Mary, the mother of Jesus, made manifest. We cannot see the spirit of, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be done unto me according to your word. Indeed, we are living in a world in which more and more studies are showing we are living in what some are calling a not only a post-Christian, but a post-religious world. Authentic religion is all but abandoned by large numbers of people, especially in the West, especially in developed countries, especially in wealthy countries like the United States. And we well see that in the United States, the number of people participating in the life of the church is declining. Our churches are not filled up on Sunday. There are empty seats in every Catholic church in every diocese in the United States on Sunday. Many empty seats. And it's not simply not a matter of going to Mass, but it's a matter of not really living out the gospel on a daily basis. For many of our Catholic people, the religious faith of generations in their family is now something that is just for weddings, funerals, baptisms, and maybe, of course, go for the poinsettias at Christmas and for the lilies at Easter. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. This is easy to say, but hard to do. So, dear sisters, as you take your leave from the shrine of Our Lady of the Snows, dedicated to Mary, the same Miriam about whom the Holy Father speaks in his apostolic exhortation, remember the words of St. Paul and turn them over in your heart. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but for those of others. And everything you do and everything you say, have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. Praise be Jesus Christ.